orbs. For years, we've had thousands and thousands of orb pictures. And when I first saw them, my mind sort of dismissed them as artifacts of flash photography. How about you?
I've seen orbs, and there were actually orbs visible at dusk a few days and a few weeks after the attack on the World Trade Center, and there have been series of photographs that have been taken both with small kind of disposable cameras and sophisticated cameras of dozens, in some cases hundreds, of orbs in the subway stations and tunnels underneath the World Trade Center in the months after the attack, as well as over the rescue workers' heads. And they're quite compelling, and they're quite dramatic. I think that the range of cameras used kind of rules out the possibility that it's a phenomenon that's limited to the camera, as you said, an artifact of some kind.
What do you think they are?
I think they're presences of I think that they are non-physical, energetic presences that are again signs or communications or contact that are not of the physical world. I've read interpretations that say that they are made out of plasma gases, but I don't know that anybody, I think that's a theory. I don't know that anyone's actually, taken an orb to a laboratory.
The temptation, of course, is to say, I've heard people say, well, they are the souls of the deceased. Do you go that far?
They have that very haunting kind of quality, and that was my first thought, and it actually kind of took my breath away, that these are the souls of the deceased who are hovering over and around that particular site where there was so much sudden and tragic death in a short within minutes, and that the orbs are the energy bodies, if you will, of those whose physical bodies were immolated.
Boy, I don't want to believe that. I'm not sure why I don't want to believe that. I guess I want to believe that that if there is a continued consciousness or energy after death, that something other than floating around in the immediate area of the unfortunate circumstance or tragic circumstance is ahead for us, not just hanging around.
Well, they don't hang around for very long. And, there are, when you read the accounts of paranormal investigators, and certainly you have spoken to people who are ghost researchers, that, the phenomena of traumatic death or sudden death, it kind of shoots the consciousness outside of the physical body, and that for many, it's a shock, and until the consciousness recognizes that there's someplace else to go, there's that moment, if you will, of kind of not knowing. And I think the manifestation of the orbs right after 9/11, so soon after 9/11, may have represented that kind of collection of energies of what just happened, where are we, and what do we do now?
Doctor, are you convinced there is a continuation of some sort of consciousness following physical death?
Absolutely.
You are?
Absolutely.
What convinced you? Being convinced is that's a very strong expression of belief. Why do you believe that so strongly?
A number of years ago, there was a report on a local CBS station of they call it instrumental transcommunication. I think you referred to it as something else, in which the form of the deceased forms on a television or a computer when it's not on, or when it's tuned to a frequency without a station. And I went to Germany and spoke with one of the physicists who was conducting some of the research. His name was Ernst Senkowski. Mm-hmm. And his explanation was very compelling, because information, the information that we acquire during the course of our lifetime, cannot be broken down into matter. You think about it, all of the data that you've acquired through your five physical senses and your sixth sense, right, all of the knowing, he said it's not matter and it can't be destroyed. And all the information of consciousness about who you are, the essence of who you are, that cannot be reduced into molecules and electrons, but yet it exists. And the conversation I had with Roger Sperry before he died had to do with the nature of consciousness and the circuitry, if you will, that has designed the brain and the healing intelligence that knows exactly when to make the exact number of healthy new cells when you cut your finger, or how to digest your food. If you think about it, do you know how to digest your food?
No.
No, I don't know either. But yet you have this circuitry, if you will. You have this blueprint and operating system, and that intelligence that designed it and that runs it cannot be broken down. That consciousness cannot be broken down into matter. And yet it exists. Now, the assumptions of Western science, reductionism, of course, is that everything can be reduced into matter and components of matter. And the subject of consciousness is threatening to many because it violates that assumption. So when we go into areas of remote viewing or consciousness research, and you have the kind of mainstream scientific view that these studies, results in the lab, statistically significant findings are really artifacts, because that can't possibly happen, because it can't be explained through the five physical senses and reductionist principles. To me, that's kind of like saying, well, if you tried to measure water in a sieve, you would then blame the water and say that the water doesn't exist because it runs through the sieve, instead of saying maybe we need to design another way of measuring water. We are trying to measure something scientifically using protocols that really were not designed to measure something that is of its very nature non-physical and indestructible.